Hello. What happened? Hello.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. So, I was hesitant actually when Ate Evan and Pastor first approached me to speak today. Because, first of all, I'm not a father yet. So, yeah. So, I was wondering what would be the best or the appropriate message that I would bring or sermon that I would bring to you guys today. And when I tried to do some research, there's actually a lot of characters in the Bible. For example, Abraham, David, you know, you see him as after God's own heart as a king. But first and foremost, he's a father as well. You know, the fasting that he did for his son, for his child that died. But moving forward, further research, I found Psalms 128, verses 1 to 6. Can you open up your Bibles? Let's try to... So Psalms 128, verses 1 to 6. So it says, "Blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in his ways. For you will eat the labor of your hands. You will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife will be as fruitful as vine in the innermost parts of your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you out of Zion, and you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, you may see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel, a song of ascents." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us to be able to hear your word for today, Lord. Father, I pray that you use me for everyone to be able to understand, you know, your word in the Bible or what you would want us to be as fathers in the family. We just want to praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm a bit pressured right now. Okay, so, I grew up in a Christian family. Most everyone in here know that my father is a pastor. At a young age, I've seen how people respect him. Like, even his siblings. My father came from he has 12 siblings, so it's quite a big family. Yeah, it's quite big, 12. So even though he is the fourth child, so he has 7 younger and 3 older, I think. Yeah, that's getting confused right now. So he has 3 older siblings. Yeah, that's a word. So, and even though his older siblings would show respect and love for him, not just because he is a pastor, but his character as well, how he is as a person. Many of us believe that our dad is the greatest, and we cannot be all right. So it's actually a special relationship between father and son and father and daughter. Oh, God has ordained 3 great institutions here on earth. That would be the home, the government, and the church. The oldest and greatest of these institutions would be the home or the house. Church is a great institution as well, but it is only as great as its homes, and our nation is great though it has been far greater but as only as great as the churches that we have. There is actually a saying, as the home goes, so goes the church, and as the church goes, so goes the nation. Through the years, much of the burden of having the right kind of home has been placed on a mother. Well, we know this, right? It's like everything, she runs the house. But the Bible places most of the burden squarely on the lap of dad. True? Agreed. It is dad's responsibility to set the moral and spiritual example for the home to see the word of God is honored and revered. It would lead in the discipline and would make sure the children are raised in nurture and admonition of the Lord, greatly increasing their chances of being born again. And just as soon as they reach the age of accountability, you know, kudos to those Christian mothers, because some of this responsibility for the father would fall to them. Because if you have a Christian wife, then it'll be easier for you. Because you won't be able to, you don't do everything on your end. Amen. So it is as Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That was Joshua 24:15, right? Amen. So Joshua was the leader of the band. If we could recall as well, going back to Genesis, Eve was the one who took the first bite. 3:9, right? Genesis 3:9. But when God came back, who did he call?
Adam.
Look for Adam. So we live in a day when it is very difficult to be a good man, and even more difficult to be a good husband. But it is most difficult to be a father and to be a dad. Actually, right now, if you turn on your television, kids would watch, for example, Simpsons. It's like the character of the Bart, right? Homer, yeah. The character is funny, dumb, yeah. It's like, is it a good example for kids to watch as well? Well, the standard of being a good father is the word of God. And Psalms 128 gives that to us. So we're going to be tackling 3 points, how to be a good father in here. The first point that I have for you guys would be dad's character. First and foremost, a good dad will fear God, walk in old-fashioned character and integrity. A question. What will your kids remember about you when you live his life? And what's some of the things that you remember about your dad? Kept you thinking, right? You know, if we will have a kid someday, I wonder what my kids will think about me. Or I would wonder what would the things that he would remember about me from his childhood. So I have an example, a short story in here. It's about a teenager who moved. So it's a Jewish family who moved in Germany. And what happened was, he had a great admiration to his dad. And they have a strong faith. And as a teenager, the family was forced to move on another different town. And then the boy noticed that his family stopped attending the church or the synagogue. And they started to attend a high society. It's a fashionable Lutheran church. So when he asked his dad, why did they switch? He said, we're not Lutheran, we're Jewish. Why did they switch churches? The answer that he got from his dad would be, attending this church would be good for business. That's the day that he lost his respect for his dad. Do you know who that teenager is? It's Karl Marx. He was the one who led the communism. He lost that day. He lost his respect to I don't know how to pronounce his name. Henrik Marx. That is that. So try to ponder on those things. You know, at a young age, you raise a child. It's kind of hard. It's difficult for you to be able to be a good example and to have a good character in front of your kids. If we can see on Psalms 28 and verse 2, a working man comes home and eats the fruit of his labor. He feels fulfilled by providing for his family. He gives an honest day's work, for he knows what the Bible says. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. That's actually in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, I'm glad that New Zealand government is really good in providing the needs of people who cannot work. Right? But I believe the government should not provide food or help to those people who will not work. Makes a difference. If you can't work, understandable. But if you will not work, that's not acceptable. You would say no one on their deathbed, if you're dying, no one would ever think that I wish I spent more time working, right? Probably if we're going to be on that day, we would be thinking, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids. I wish I would have spent more time with my dad before. You know, my dad already passed away. It was years and years ago. I'm a daddy's boy, I think. Yeah, because I loved him very much, you know. We have spent a lot of time together. A year before he passed away, I was the one who took care of him because he has diabetes. And he was bedridden already at that time. So I was able to spend more time with him. And I saw the character that he had. I would say he really set a good example for me on how he lived his life. No, even though I can see his pains every day, he still kept on praising God no matter what. Number two, dad's companionship. So there is a woman online who did this dating app. And then he put in her profile, she didn't care about looks, income, or background. All she wanted was a man with upright character. Then a man came in and told them the only thing he was seeking for a woman was intelligence. So the dating app matched them together because they had one thing in common. What's it? They're both compulsive liars. Right? So you're looking for a perfect person in there. So in verse 3 for Psalms 128, It says, your wife will be as fruitful as vine in the innermost parts of your house. Your children like olive plants in your table. A husband is to be to his wife like a wall is to be a vine. For my Charmaine, you know, I am to be her support, her strength, something solid and something she can cling to. She's to be my best friend, and I should be to her as well. Goes both ways. Can you turn your Bibles in Ecclesiastes 9:11? Four. 9-11. So it says in there, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and he doesn't have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, lie down, they have warmth. But how can one keep warm alone? So two is better than one. And I definitely agree on this verses, right? Like, if you have a burden, if you are in a suffering, much better to go through with it with someone. Because no one, that's why in the first place, God made Eve. Because Adam was alone. If you need to be a wall to your wife, you need to be spiritually, emotionally, and physically as well. So, you know, those things are kind of difficult to do, everything in one time. But that's how we are as a human. You know, we change for the good, for the better. And lastly, dad's child rearing. So as I've done further research while I was doing this, there was a child who, a daughter who sent letter to her parents. So basically what happened was, she was telling her parents that she's sorry because she wasn't able to let them up to date or get back to them as soon as possible, because she moved out for college. And then she wrote in the letter that she just broke her skull, a fracture, because he jumped from the window of her dormitory because there was a fire. And then a guy who is living next door helped her out, and then they fell in love and she was pregnant. So she was writing all of this stuff on the letter. And then in the middle, she said she has syphilis. That's STD, one of the STDs. So she is trying to cure it. She's on healing right now. And then all at the end, she said, now that I have brought you up to date, folks, I want to tell you that there was no dormitory fire. She doesn't have a concussion. And she's not in the hospital, and she's not pregnant. And she doesn't have a boyfriend. And she doesn't have syphilis as well. She just wanted to tell her parents that she's getting a D in history and F in science. And she wanted them to see those marks in the proper perspective. Right? So in verse 3, you would see another beautiful picture. And let me tell you, it's about the second part of verse 3, Psalms 128. So, I'll just go back down. So your children like olive plants around your table. Let me tell you about something interesting about olive plants. They grow very, very slowly. But if cultivated properly, they will yield fruit for 800 years. Amazing, right? So if you cultivate your children, if you raise them right, they would bear really good fruits as well, as a person. We are not raising mushrooms, you know, when you raise your kid. We are trying to compare them as olive trees, and it takes time. We want our children to be strong, stable, well-rooted, and well-grounded. So we want to send them into the world fully equipped. We know the outside world is tempting. It's not fair. So we need them to be strong as they can be and as prepared as they can be when they go out and venture into the world. So we need to water them and shower them with time. Cultivate relationship with them. And we need to introduce them to the light of the Son of God and protect them from the pests that are around and would like to eat them alive. Right? So when we have seen your dad's character, his companion, and his rearing, there would be guys in here that would think, I'd like to be that kind of dad, but I can't. Right? It's quite hard to do it. It's like be a wall to your wife, to support her and everything. Because at the end of the day, you'll end up in an argument. It's like, and cultivate your sons, your children, you know, raise them properly. So with all of those things that we've talked about, it's kind of hard to be a dad. It's kind of hard to be a father, a husband to your wife. But what does the Bible says about it? It's in Luke 1:37. So in Luke 1, verse 37, it says, for everything spoken by God is possible. Amen, right? So if you would think that it's kind of hard to be, to fulfill all of this, to be a father, to be a husband, no word from God will ever fail. And on my translation, it says, for everything spoken by God is possible. Pretty amazing, right? It's a promise from the Lord. As I end this sermon for today, I just want to leave this to you guys. You cannot do one thing about your ancestors and how you were raised. But you can do something about your descendants, right? So all we gotta do is break the cycle. Thank you. Can I request Ivan to come in front? And can we request the fathers as well to stand? Let's offer them a prayer. Just. Kind of a great thing.
Come on, guys, we're praying for you, and it's an opportunity to be prayed.
Okay, I wanna.
We don't have to give them gifts. You're not their father. Oh, they're not their children.
Can I request everyone to stand while we pray for them? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the sermon. We thank you for the word that we have heard for today.
Yes, Father.
Father, we celebrate this day for these guys. They are the men who provided for their families, Lord.
Yes.
They are the men who are trying to introduce their kids to you.
Yes, Father.
They are the men who provided love, support to their wives as well.
Yes, Father.
We pray for all the fathers in the world, Lord.
Yes.
We pray for all the fathers that are members of this church that are not here as well for today, Father.
Yes, Father.
Now you can see that they're trying to offer their lives to you, Lord. We know that you will continue to shower your blessings to them, to their families.
Yes.
Continue to give them good health, Lord, so that they can provide everything that their family needs, Father.
Yes, Father. Yes, Lord.
You know, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for the presence of each and everyone in here today, Father. We just want to bring you all the glory, honor, and praises. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day.
Let's just remember that you are shaping the future. Your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren will be blessed beside us. What Brother Mark said that... The olive tree will bear fruit up to 800 years. So we are now looking to the coming generations. So you're shaping lives. You're not shaping a tree. You're shaping love. And as it might be hard doing things for them, but still it says that for no word from God will ever fail. So Father, I can also pray for you. Holy Father, we thank you so much for this fathers and fathers to be, oh God, and all the fathers in the world. I know there's so many fatherless people around in this world, oh God. But we pray, oh Father, that put it in their hearts that it is their obligation and responsibility to the Lord, that they were the reason why they were made fathers, is to shape the future, oh God, according to your will. So bless them all, Father. Guys, I bless you with blessings from the Lord that he will implant into your heart the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will bring up your family according to his will. May you be blessed, and your children, and children's children, and so many more generations to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Happy Father's Day.
Hindi, pag isa lang daw ang anak, Happy Father Day.
Oh.
Pag dagdaga, magagawin na namin Happy
sa,
Father.
Sa kabila? Oh.
sige, Archel. Sister Alma.
Nawala
ka. Uy. Nawala ka na. Amen.